Today, I also had another adventure. At 6:15, the power was removed from my house, and they were told to do that. It wasn't something that happened because we didn't pay our electric light bill. But I had two maple trees that had to be removed because they were overgrown, their piece of land, and so they came down today. So that was another experience, and all day long I'm saying, God, what do you want? And he says, trees, trees, trees. The answer is trees. And I'm going to entitle this meeting tonight as the coming down of two trees in the garden, my front yard garden. And that's all that I kept hearing as I watched the trees being cut. I only saw one cut. The other one had to remain because I had to leave to go to Worcester. And it's my brother's son that did the work, and it was quite fascinating to watch that big tree come down. But I want to talk to you about two trees. So we're going to go to Genesis. And in Genesis, the Lord created a garden for his creation. And Lord Jesus, without you, this word is not going to do much of anything. So I'm asking you now to just release out of my mouth that which is needed so that they will learn what you are intending for them to teach them and to counsel them so that they'll understand what you want and how you want it done. In Jesus' name. Two trees in the garden became an impact in my life quite a few years ago. And it's a book that was written by, I believe, Rick Joyner. And drove me into the heavenlies. If you've never read the book, Two Trees in the Garden, I would suggest that you might consider getting that particular book. And what it's really all about is going back to Genesis and recognizing one word and acknowledging that the tree that they decided to eat from had two natures in it. Not one. So I'd like you to kind of take a peek with me at Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to be using the Amplified. And I'm going to kind of pop in at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and guard it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree in or of the garden, except, verse 17, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, it has two natures. It has the good and the evil within its own perimeter. The knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil are one tree, not two. So when you think you know what's good for you, who are you serving? Well, according to this, you're doing exactly what Adam and Eve did. Mm-hmm. You are feeding on your own knowledge of good, and it could be, but it's not good for you at all. And evil, we think we can discern easily. How many of you all think, oh my God, this is evil, so it's so simple? It's not so simple. It's a lot more complicated. So this particular tree is the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. So I always understood that when they were going to eat this tree, my brain said, this is the tree of the knowledge of evil only. The knowledge of good is Jesus. I had it wrong. The knowledge of good and evil is under the demonic tree. So can we go a little higher? Watch now. And of blessings of what? Did you hear that? Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and of blessing and calamity, you shall not eat. So there are some blessings that are going to be a part of what you think is good, and it's demonic. And he says, you're not to eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, when I was growing up, my knowledge of the tree of knowledge and the tree of life, I kind of understood that it was Jesus, but I kind of thought that it was Jesus and good were one tree. And the knowledge of evil and demons were the other tree. What a wake-up call. What a reality check. When I realized, I said, Lord, this is so intense that I can't trust my mind. Because my mind was taught by the knowledge of good and evil using the law. Amen? You see that? Those Ten Commandments? That's part of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's fit for that. So that tree will definitely bring you to an understanding, and it'll expose sin and get you to see it, but it's not the tree of life. And I'll tell you something. Just a few days ago, the Lord said to me, I want you to step out from the second heaven and into the third. I said, whoa. I thought I was living in the third. He says, you are. And then he added one major word. What do you think that word was? Part-time. That's what he said to me. Exactly. You're living in the third heavens only part-time. Well, I'd like to be there full-time. How do I get there? Well, he says, you've got to recognize there's a lot of stuff that's in you from the knowledge of good and evil. And from that tree, you're still feeding. And when you're feeding under your reasoning, you are feeding under the wrong tree. Try it on for size. Look at your neighbor. It says, what I'm feeding on reasoning, I'm under the wrong tree. And if I participate from that tree, I will surely fill in the blank. What's the last word? I will surely die. What am I doing? I'm bringing death to myself. Amen? And I'm not even conscious of it because it sounds so good. It sounds so holy. After all, I'm going to get blessed. Oh, I'm going to get blessed. This is God. This has got to be God. It's not what his word says. If I remember... Remember, except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and of blessing and calamity. Woo-hoo. You shall not eat. So there are some blessings that will bring you to death instead of to life. How many ever fell in love with the wrong person? Oh, he is the best thing that could ever have been found. And I know because I know that it's the best thing. And you marry and you take him home. And then you find out he's not a blessing. He's a curse. Or she's a blessing. Oh, my, she's the best. And she's not the best. Because she had a different plan. How many remember Samson and Delilah? Oh, she's gorgeous. Yeah, right. She's after your buck, you nut. She's after your secret. Yeah. Well, you see, the pattern hasn't changed, has it? How many Samsons here? I don't want you to raise your hand on that one. Now the Lord God, verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper meet, suitable and adapted and completing for him. And out of the ground of the Lord formed the woman, etc., etc. And of course, Adam named all his animals. And the Lord caused a deep sleep, verse 21. I'm kind of skipping through. And then we go to chapter 3. Now the serpent, well, I should say verse 25 would be important. The man and his wife were both naked and were not embarrassed or ashamed in each other's presence. Now, the serpent was moved, or more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he, in parentheses, Satan, said to the woman, "Can it really be that God has said?" So notice his craftiness. "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, except of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Was he speaking truth?
No.
No. But the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Now, did she have it in her heart to be able to eat of the tree of life? Yeah, it was permitted. It was an okay thing. Who was the tree of life? I am the truth and the word, and Jesus was the tree of life. So she was definitely able to feed from him if she wanted to. Okay. Verse 4 again. The serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. But God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be as gods, knowing the difference between good and evil and blessing and calamity." Notice again, it's both. Will she know the difference between good and evil? No, she won't. She's being trapped. She's been seduced, and she's being trapped. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, so she decided to think about it and look. Suitable and pleasant for food. So she's discerning, isn't she? She's deciding. And that it was delightful to look at, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Wow. She took its fruit and ate. And she gave some also to her husband, and he ate. Where had he been all this time? Watching. Is he looking at the tree, or is he looking at the wonderful bride? His eyes are on the woman. She is so gorgeous. She is absolutely stunning. She's the best thing that ever could have happened to me, Lord. I am so overwhelmed. And he opened his mouth automatically. No, he didn't. He thought about it. But you see, it was his decision without seduction that caught him. Remember, she was seduced. He was not. He was the one that should have said, lady, stop. Wrong tree. But it didn't happen that way. Did God make provision in case they both goofed? Yes, he did. But I'm trying to stress to you that this tree was the knowledge of good and of evil. How many times do we make decisions on whether something is going to be good for me or something is going to be evil for me? And we base our decision with our natural understanding and our own discernment, and we fail miserably. It's got to stop. The tree of life is Christ Jesus. Where is he alive? He's inside of you. Could you check with him once in a while and find out what kind of evil stuff that you're dealing with, or what kind of good stuff that smells so good and sounds so good, and it's going to what? Even give you a blessing that will destroy you. Do you think you're smart enough to sniff out the enemy on your own?
No.
I did. Did you hear? I said I did. There are times that the enemy is still so crafty that he'll get me close to it, and I will fall, and after I've fallen, I say, oh my God, I should have known, but I didn't know because my flesh still follows with it. Come on. So that old Adam nature is still working inside of me, trying to get me back into what? Death. And if I focus on the Lord, I'm focused on life and life eternal. And if I run to him to help me, he will be there every time. He'll give me a little kind of a way to scoot out. Okay? I want to share something that's kind of cute because it happened today. My brother's son prepared the tree, and we had to have the wires removed from the house to the street, so we were without power, and I'm outside taking pictures. And I will get them to you, so you'll get to see what this whole procedure was like. So this was a huge tree. It was about 20-something years old. And he had to kind of take out a lot of the branches before he decided to notch it and then bring it down. And to make a long story short, he figured exactly where it was going to drop. And my neighbor used to work for the electric light company, so he was quite interesting. And he's 80 years old. I love this man. And so his grandson's there from Florida, and we're all watching. And so the tree's down, and of course it's in between our homes. And so my cousin said, I'm going to shake hands with your neighbor because he's been so kind to let us use his yard, because we couldn't drop the tree in my yard because it would have taken twice as long. So now I take a picture of the two of them shaking hands, and they're all excited. And they pull away from the tree, and the little boy says, look! And we've got this wonderful little gray creature on the ground. And he looked as dead as a doornail. It was a good-sized little squirrel. And he must have been hiding on top of that tree. And he came down and he crashed into the ground with the tree. So my cousin went over and he says, oh my! And he picks him up in his hand and he says, he's not dead. He's really had quite a shock. So now the whole debate about what are we going to do with him, right? And sure enough, he was still alive, so he went and put him in the backyard and let him live. And so we had this whole ordeal with this wonderful tree. Now I said, can you imagine if you were that little squirrel? What a ride. What a ride. I mean, what a crash and what an awesome landing. And I mean, to find somebody picking you up that you've never allowed to touch you. Well, do you relate? See, I can relate to the squirrel. I was going straight to hell. But somebody had enough guts to pick me up when I had fallen pretty darn hard from where I was. And somebody picked me back up and put me on a new tree. On a live tree. His name is Jesus. You say, how can you use all that to make it sense? Well, I'll tell you, he looked dead. He was probably 80% dead. But I believe that when this man picked him up, he felt the presence of power and strength. And when Jesus picked me up, did I feel his power and his strength? Yes, I did. So you can feel and experience a fall from the wrong tree, did you get it? And really be put back into the freedom of the garden. And God, when he did that, he said, okay, now you can't go back and eat from the tree of life, because if you do, you'll stay dead forever. So you see, sometimes we get an idea about God being nasty and putting angels there and stopping them from going back into that wonderful garden. He was being protective of their future. He was waiting for the release of the Messiah. And he told them, don't give up. I've got a solution. Even though you failed, I've got a solution. Close your eyes. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight, when I depend on my own reasoning, I've learned that I'm feeding from the wrong tree, possibly. Please release grace to me to check in with the tree of life, which is Christ Jesus inside me, and not make decisions on my own. Even when I think I'm going to get blessed, because it's going to smell so good, it's going to look so good, but it could have death in it. So get me out of the wrong tree. I don't want to be like that squirrel. I don't want to take that ride anymore. I want to be in the tree of life. And I want to live forever. Amen? And amen. I think you got the message. It's not complicated. God loves you enough to keep you free. Father, I just ask that you would release them now. And these that have listened to this message and find it difficult, I would ask that they would go back into Genesis and check it again. Until the fullness of this truth is really made clear, so that they can have new life in Christ Jesus. Amen.